Hiding from the Fortune Hunters. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1877. Colina pulled off the black hat she had worn at her father's funeral and then threw it onto a chair before she sat down in front of the mirror to tidy her hair. She had tried not to cry at the funeral, and somehow she had succeeded. But now she felt tears coming into her eyes, and it was difficult to see her own reflection. The funeral for Sir Arthur Dalton had taken place at the English church in Paris, and because they were in Paris, his death had not filled the newspapers, which Colina knew it would have done in London. Sir Arthur had made himself one of the richest and most acclaimed men in the whole country, and because he was so shrewd as well as lucky, he had become one of the wealthiest men of the times. Colina knew that his death would be headlines in almost every English newspaper. It was because of this that she had deliberately had him buried very quickly after his death. Only his relatives and close friends were aware that he was no longer with them. It was 3 years ago that Sir Arthur, on one of his trips abroad, from which he usually came back richer than he was already, had caught a strange and frightening fever, which developed into a disease that had affected his whole body. Because he had been in Paris when it had occurred, Colina had not returned to England, but stayed so that she could see her father every day, and she had been told by the doctors that it was only a question of time before he was back on his feet. He was, in fact, only 65 when he died. It was something no one expected or anticipated. Colina herself had been dreadfully shocked when she had called to see her father after his afternoon rest to be told that he had died in his sleep. "But you were so sure," she had said to the doctors, "that he would recover from this dreadful Oriental disease which had lingered on and on. I did not believe that it would kill him." The tears had come into her eyes at the last words. One of the doctors, who was French, bent forward to put his hand on her arm.
"You must be very brave, mademoiselle," he said in French, "as you have been all the time that your father has been so ill. To be absolutely frank with you, none of us had the slightest idea that it would eventually kill him."
"You have been so kind, doctor," Colina sighed, "but I too thought that he would be back to being as energetic and clever as he had always been." There was nothing more that the doctor could say. She had gone back to the house that her father had bought in Paris, which was just off the Champs-Élysées. Her cousin, Elizabeth, had been waiting there for her, and she knew as soon as she saw her that something terrible had happened. Colina had rushed forward and thrown her arms around her cousin. "Papa is dead," she sobbed, "and they were so sure that he would get well." She was weeping copiously, and there was nothing her cousin could do but hold her closely. "You have to be brave," she told her, "as your dear father must have been brave when your mother died. You are the only person who I have left," Colina wailed. "Now I feel all alone in the world, and there is no point in thinking that there is anything for me to do." Elizabeth thought this to be true, but was too wise to say so. She merely comforted Colina as best she could. When she became calmer and stopped crying, they started to plan what they would do. "I don't want to stay in Paris," Colina said. "It will always remind me of Papa, and how he enjoyed taking me to the sights when he was not busy." "You are not the only person who will miss him," Elizabeth replied. "He is renowned for the brilliant way he has helped so many people become..."